In the early church, there was this guy called Diotrephes. And according to John, he was an evil character. And this letter that we're about to read is written to warn Gaius about this Diotrephes. So who is this fellow? What is it that he did that was so bad that required a warning? Let's read the letter and think about that. The elder to Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you will prosper in all things and be healthy, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brothers came and testified about your truth, even as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear about my children walking in truth. Beloved, you do a faithful work, whatever you accomplish for those who are brothers and strangers. They have testified about your love before the assembly. You will do well to send them forward on their journey in a way worthy of God. Because for the sake of your name, the name, they went out taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the assembly, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, doesn't accept what we say. Therefore, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. Not content with this, neither does he himself receive the brothers and those who would, he forbids and throws out of the assembly. Beloved, do not imitate that which is evil, but that which is good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil hasn't seen God. Demetrius has the testimony of all and of the truth itself. Yes, we also testify, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am unwilling to write with ink and paper. But I hope to see you soon. Then we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Well, this is the third of John's letters, and I got the feeling that he wrote a lot of letters, but we've just got the three. And it's one of the Bible's short chapters. It's a personal letter to Gaius. Don't you love those Roman names? And Gaius is in a church somewhere. We don't know where. And John writes to him and says, I pray that you will prosper in all things and be healthy even as your soul prospers. And I've heard people say, if you don't have health, you've got nothing. You know, you can work hard, have a lot of money. And like J.D. Rockefeller, you know, one of the world's wealthiest people, but his son got, you know, a terrible disease, and all his wealth couldn't help that boy. And, you know, even money can't help you if you don't have health. But John writes and says, I pray that you'll be prosper in all things and be healthy, even as your soul prospers. And I'd like to say that if your soul doesn't prosper, you've got nothing. It's true about the health, it's a thing. But if your soul doesn't prosper, imagine that. Imagine having a healthy body, but it being full of bitterness, being angry, being unforgiving. Well, you might be healthy in one way, but your life is miserable. What's the point? But you could be sick. You could have lost all your legs. You could be a paraplegic. You could be, you know, full of disease, but you could have a heart full of the Lord's love. Your soul could prosper, and that health of soul will carry you through even if your body isn't healthy. So of all the things that you want to prosper, obviously you want to prosper in all things, but your soul is the most important thing to prosper. So get that right. Get your walk with the Lord figured out. And that's what John says. He says, I pray you'll prosper in all things and be healthy, even as your soul prospers. And in fact, that is what happens. You find that if you have a grumpy heart, full of bad attitudes, it actually will affect your health. You'll end up with cancer, or you'll end up with stomach ulcers, and all sorts of things will start going wrong because of your bad attitudes. But if you've got a good attitude, that'll affect your health too. So, a healthy heart's like medicine. So anyway, that's a greeting, and, you know, may you prosper as well. And then John says he rejoices when he heard some news from this brother Gaius. He rejoiced when the brothers came and testified that he was walking in the truth, and it made him happy. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. And I have to agree. When you hear that your kids are doing well, it makes you happy. And some of you might be too young to have children, but when you have children, it makes you happy when things work out for them. And, you know, my oldest daughter, she's now, you know, grown up, gone to college, got a great job, done extra training. She's now well-educated. Life's just turning out well. Well, when I think of her, makes me happy. Spiritual children, same thing. We people that have left the church and they've gone off to serve the Lord, and when we hear that they're doing well, that their churches are doing well, that they're leading people to Christ, the Lord's answering their prayer, you hear those stories, makes you happy. And that's what John says. He says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear about my children walking in the truth. It's true. And he says in verse 5, beloved, in other words, Gaius, you're doing a faithful work. You're doing well. And he says, in whatever you accomplish for those who are brothers and strangers. What Gaius was actually doing was he was showing hospitality to people. There were people coming through his town, and they were brothers and strangers. In other words, people who knew the Lord, but he might not have personally known them, but he was taking care of them. And John says, they have testified about your love before the assembly. So in John's church, these people have gone through, they've been taken care of by Gaius, then they've made their way to John, and he's heard about what Gaius is doing, taking care of people. And he says to Gaius, you're doing well. You're doing a faithful work, and that's what's making him happy. John's happy because he can see someone he loves doing a good job caring for Christians. He says, though, however, there was someone that was not showing hospitality. But worse than that, this guy's name was Diotrephes. What he was doing was he was accusing John, and he would not receive brothers and sisters. He would not show hospitality. And not only that, he would throw people out of the assembly, that's the church, that he didn't agree with their behavior. And John said that this Diotrephes, I'll read it again to you. He said, I've written to you about Diotrephes, who loves to be first. He doesn't accept what we say. He accuses us unjustly. Not content with this, he does not receive the brothers. So there are Christians that are going through this particular town where Gaius and Diotrephes both are. But Diotrephes, who's, it seems like he's the leader of some type, is not he's refusing to help these people, but Gaius is helping them. And this Diotrephes loves to be first. A lot of people like to be first. We like to make sure we're taken care of. But what John is saying here is that we need to take care of others first. And Gaius is doing that. John writes to him and says, do not imitate that which is evil. According to John, putting yourself first is evil. And so Diotrephes is just trying to look after himself, making sure he's okay, making sure his church is run the way he wants, making sure his ministry is done the way he wants. He was not mindful of the fact that the Lord's church was bigger than his own church. Sometimes people, it's not that they deliberately mean or deliberately intend to be mean, but they just got a narrow perspective. And they think of their own congregation or their own church as the work of God. And they forget that when the Lord said, love one another, he's not talking only of the people that go to church with you. He's talking about all these people. So there's these brothers and sisters that come through this particular town. John calls them brothers and strangers. So they're fellow Christians, but they weren't known. The local church didn't know who they were. But when they came through, they had no one to look after them. Diotrephes refused to look after them. He did not show them the love of God, and John called that evil. But Gaius welcomed them, looked after them, and John said, you're doing a faithful work. You're doing a good job. And John said it gave him no greater joy. It made John happy. And John said if he came, he was going to sort that out. And I guess he was planning on going, because in verse 13 it says, I have many things to write, but I'm unwilling to write with paper and ink. I'm hoping to see you soon, and then we'll speak. And I bet he did. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, it means that we're called to love our fellow believer, the ones we know and also the ones we don't know. Well, may God help us with that. Father, I thank you for John. Thank you for Gaius. Thank you for faithful people through all the ages of Christianity. You've had your Holy Spirit. Give us the Spirit of God too. Fill us with love and hospitality and care for those all around us in Jesus' name. Amen.